It really is a pleasure to be back here for more than one reason. Number one, I love coming to other congregations and having the opportunity to share God's word with other people. But I also love coming to a church that has air conditioning. I have stories where I was at a church in the middle of the summer as a synod deacon. That's when I get called a lot, when supply pastors aren't available. And I remember just being absolute. My sermon was absolutely drenched. It is so nice to come to a church with air conditioning. But I also love coming and having the opportunity to share God's word with other people. In January of 1981, I met my wife Nancy. Now at that point, technically I was a Roman Catholic. Although I had some issues with what was going on in the church and had already basically left the church. However, I did consider myself a spiritual person and a person of faith. I just was not associated with a community of faith at that time. As Nancy and I got to know each other, she invited me to come to her church one Sunday. Nancy was born and raised in the Lutheran church. And while I really didn't consider myself a Catholic anymore, some of those old teachings kept creeping into my head. For example, growing up a Catholic, I was told I wasn't even allowed to go into a non-Catholic church, that it was a sin. And I still remember that day feeling uneasy as I walked into Nancy's church. However, when I left that church that day, I said to myself, wow, this is what church should be. Now, that doesn't mean that I immediately signed on the dotted line and I was in. No, but that day started years of prayer, soul searching, and study to come to terms with how the Holy Spirit was guiding me and how that potentially fit in or didn't with what the Lutheran Church believed and taught. Now, I wasn't quite sure at the time, but it was that story that burst into my mind when I first read today's gospel. Today we hear Jesus hit us with several quickie parables: the mustard seed, the yeast, the treasure in the field, the fine pearl, and the fishnet. And Jesus fires them off one after another. Boom, boom, boom. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. The kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea. In a very short period of time, Jesus bombards them and us with a lot of imagery to help us try and understand what is the kingdom of heaven. Let's take a look at these parables for just a minute and try to see what Jesus is telling us here. First, I'd like to start with the last one, the fishnet. Jesus tells them four parables up to that point that show an image of the kingdom of heaven, but ends with one that reminds us that there will be judgment. In last week's gospel, if you'll remember, Jesus tells the parable of the weeds in the wheat, and how at the end, when the wheat is ready to be harvested, the weeds will be separated from the wheat and burned. Now, this parable about judgment needed to be explained to them. So Jesus reminds them again with this parable today that there will be judgment. And he does it this time with imagery that might help them understand it a little better. It's not a message we like to hear, but Jesus makes it clear that in the end, good and evil will be separated. We will be judged. But today Jesus starts with a very simple image of a mustard seed, a very small seed that grows into this enormous organism that birds nest in. A very simple analogy of what the kingdom of heaven is like, that something small can grow up to be something very big. We've all heard this parable before, and it's fairly easy to understand the imagery that Jesus is expressing here. Next, Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven being like yeast. Now, we all know what yeast does. You put it into the dough, and it makes the dough rise, and it makes it bigger, and it makes the bread nice and fluffy, and just makes a small thing bigger again, like the mustard seed. But there's something a little more here to this one. Jesus tells us the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. The yeast you put into dough to make bread. Bread was one of the food staples at that time. Everyone ate bread. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven will sustain us, that God will provide what we need, but not just what we need. Jesus talks about the woman making bread by putting yeast in 3 measures of flour. Now, while I was writing this, I realized I had no clue what 3 measures of flour was. I figured it was the amount of flour a woman used to make enough bread for her and her family. Nope. I discovered that 3 measures of flour would make enough bread to feed 100 people. I was floored when I read this, because it made me realize that Jesus is saying something different to us today. But I'll get back to that in a minute. I want to talk about the next 2 parables first, because they're related. And I discovered that it was these 2 that made me think of the story I started telling you before. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. Someone finds it and sells everything they have to own that field. The other one, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding 1 pearl of great value, he went and sold everything he had to own that 1 pearl. 2 very similar parables. But did anyone notice the difference? In the first parable, the kingdom of heaven is the treasure. That treasure in the field is the kingdom of heaven. In the second parable, the kingdom of heaven is like the merchant. Not the fine pearl, the merchant himself. It took me a few readings of this gospel before I noticed this difference. But when I did, it made me realize why the story I started telling came to my mind. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure. The kingdom of heaven is also the search for that treasure. The search that is a spiritual journey that we are all on. We are all the merchant searching for that fine pearl, that treasure. A significant part of that journey for me started that day I visited Nancy's church. Now, without going into a lot of detail, suffice to say that I spent the next several years trying to discover if God was calling me to be part of a community of faith in the Lutheran church. Now, once it came to me that this was where God was calling me, I'm telling you, it really did feel like I found a treasure. I remember that day. Now, maybe your spiritual journey in searching didn't take that form, but rest assured, everyone has been and continues to be on that journey. I know that sometimes while we're on our journeys, we can question and sometimes even doubt some aspects of our faith. I've also heard some people say that we should never doubt or question. But I have found throughout my life that my questioning and my doubting has actually strengthened my faith and my relationship with God. I know we can question where God and our faith fits in to what has taken place over these last several months with this COVID pandemic, especially when we haven't been able to really worship and gather as communities of faith until very recently. Now, where that questioning and searching leads us as individuals or congregations will be different. But I know that it will lead us somewhere. I know this because of one thing that each of these parables that Jesus tells us today has in common. In order for the mustard seed to grow, it must be sown. It must be planted. In order for the yeast to make the dough rise, it must be kneaded into the dough. In order for the person to get the treasure in the field, they had to go and sell everything they had. In order for the merchant to get that pearl, he had to search for it. In order for the net to catch all kinds of fish, it has to be cast. In every one of these parables, an action had to take place. Jesus calls us to action, to have the kingdom be present for us. Anyone know what the tagline is for the ELCA? God's work, our hands. It's a perfect phrase for what Jesus is telling us today. In order for the kingdom of heaven to be searched for, found, and grow, it requires us to answer that call to action. Now, we have to be a little careful here, because we believe that there is nothing we can do to earn God's love and forgiveness. There is nothing we can do to be made right with God. God loves us so much that Jesus came to us to live, die, and rise for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, the theological term we use when we're talking about being made right with God is called justification. Now, I have to be honest here. In my years of searching after first visiting Nancy's church, this was one of the concepts that took me a long time to get a handle on, to come to terms with. How can we not have to do anything for God's love and forgiveness, yet be called to do good works? How can I believe that I have to do nothing, yet be told in Scripture that faith without works is dead? One day I was reading a book with some writings of Martin Luther when it hit me. Now, I'm paraphrasing here, but Martin Luther said that we do not do good works to be made right with God, but we do good works because we are already made right with God. If we have faith, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, good works will happen. Nothing else can happen. Does anyone play poker? I love playing poker. You know the term going all in? It means that when you take all your chips and put them into the pot. Today, Jesus is calling us to go all in. When the person finds the treasure in the field and sells everything they have to own the field, they're going all in. When the merchant finds the pearl he's been searching for and sells everything, he's going all in. When we answer that call to discipleship and go all in, amazing things will happen. When we proclaim the good news, the mustard seed is being planted. When Jesus talks about this woman making enough bread for 100 people, he wasn't just saying that God will provide for us. He's saying that God will give us what we need to provide for all. If we take the yeast, the kingdom of heaven, and we knead it into the dough, and we bake the bread, and if we share that bread, God's work, our hands. When I read those words that Martin Luther wrote, and it clicked for me, I knew I was being called to discipleship. I knew I was being called to go all in. And it wasn't long after that that I had that, what I call that light bulb moment, that I joined the Lutheran Church. And here I am, 39 years later, sharing God's word with you. That doesn't mean by far that it's been a perfect journey. Far from it. I have fallen on my face many times. Many times I have fallen on my face, just as we all do on our journeys. But because of God's grace, because of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And we pick ourselves up and keep searching for that pearl. Today, Jesus calls us to discipleship by going all in, by using our hands to do God's work and bring the kingdom of heaven into our world. That's a challenge. That's not an easy call to make. And I'll conclude it by using another poker term. I pray that none of us ever want to fold. Amen.